I'm going to make one quick hara here. Just in my looking through some other, I was like looking deeper in the Beis Yosef, and remember that first shita we saw, the first maila for the Rambam of the hechzakta bo, that ideally tzedakah would be to give the ani a job or a profession before he's dependent on tzedakah. So the standard view there, I would say, that we saw in the Sifrei itself was something closer to an efficiency argument. What was the efficiency argument? That it's easier to help somebody before they fall than to help them up once they fall. Right? So the thought is to keep somebody supported, to keep somebody on a good path, costs less overall than to have to pull them up once they're down. The Sifrei gave that example of a chamor? That's odenu bimkomo. It's easier to be toface bo umamido, right? You just keep the package where it is, but once it falls down, it's harder to raise it. Nafa la'aretz kamisha ein mamidim oso. So that seemed to be an efficiency type consideration. But I wanted to draw your attention to the Beis Yosef, who offers a different theory for why vehechzaktabo is the best type of tzedaka. Here it is. Beis Yosef in Yerdei Siman Reish Mem Tes. What does he say? And, you know, we said this, but it's nice to have the Beis Yosef saying it. What's his theory? Whoa, sorry. Josh, sorry.
That it's better because you're stopping the ani from feeling any sort of inner shame at all.
Exactly. There's no busha. Right, so it's another example of the centrality that the kavod of the ani plays. He says, "Zu ma'ila gedola shebechulan v'hatam hu mepnei she'ein ha'ani misbayish klal shehare ein anotal mamon mishum adam ala darach halva o shetvus o malacha." Does everybody see that? So this is just consistent with the theme we've seen in a lot of the Mefarshim, that the hierarchy of the Shemona Milos is determined by the manner in which they preserve the dignity of the ani. Agreed? Everybody see that? Great. Now, one other small ha'ara on that discussion is in the Orchos Chaim. Hey, Ariel. Welcome. The Orchos Chaim in Staka has a very interesting rule that he cites, also about the Kedimos in Staka. We'll talk about this in our discussion. Also, I just wanted to add it to the Kavo discussion. He says, Im Sachar Ani Ve'Avion, you hire an ani and an evyon. What's the difference between an ani and an evyon? Usually an evyon is somebody who's more destitute, more desperate than an ani. So who should you pay first? The more desperate person or the less desperate person? Don't look at the board. Who should you pay first?
I think the more desperate person.
Ah, Romy, hedged. You would think the more desperate person. But you saw the answer, or you...
Well, the way you
ask
the question, yeah.
Okay, fine. So what does he say? Who gets first? Ve'en lo schar echad mehem ani kodem. Why? Because ani anvasan shebosh lishol ve'evyon she'eno bosh levakesh. And evyon sometimes is at such a state of despair where there's no embarrassment for him to ask. So that's why... it's okay sometimes to let the evyon beg because he suffers no embarrassment. So he's doing this day in and day out. Whereas the ani who suffers embarrassment, it's not okay to let him ask. So it's counterintuitive, right? You would think that the more desperate you are, the more you should give him stuck. You should prioritize him for payment. But if you think that about this busha component, maybe you could see where the Orchos Chaim is coming from. Josh.
Could you read this from a distributive standpoint also, just from the sense that we're not concerned that the Evyon is not going to get money because we know he's going to be willing to go run
hospitals? Yeah, you can make that argument, but that's not the way the Orchos Chaim spins it. But I think logically you're right. That's another way of thinking about it. Great. So let's get into our discussion where we left off of Aniya Ircha Kodmin. So I want us to think generally about the question of triaging and distributing tzedakah. Who's the first target? Who's deserving of our tzedakah before anybody else? Correct? Obviously, whenever you have this issue arises, whenever you have scarce resources, you don't have enough for everybody. So you have this issue of kedima. Who should be prioritized? Now, we're going to examine this through the lens of tzedakah, but it's not obvious that this is limited to hilchos tzedakah. It could extend to other areas of halacha where you have to triage or prioritize, such as
medicine.
Yeah, medicine might be an example. In all the corona type discussions, this comes up. Saving somebody's life, right, is another example where this might come up. Where else? Doing favors to somebody, right? It's whenever you have to choose between two different people, whose funeral are you going to go to? Whose wedding are you going to go to? These issues come up. I'll give you some examples as we get into the discussion today. So let's start with the major, usually this is discussed under the idea of Aniyei Ircha Kodmin, which is priority based on what?
Proximity,
yeah, location. Okay. So something about Ircha Makom. Where do we know this idea of Ani Ircha? Where does it come from? So we have the two Gemaras in Bava Metzia, which we saw last year, Bava Metzia Lamed Aleph and Mabez, and Bava Metzia Ayin Aleph, which established Ani Ircha Kodmin. Where does it come from in the Pasuk? What's the biblical source, at least one of them? Aniyecha. Sorry. Esha ani imach. Im kesef talves ami esha ani imach. Right? The ani with you. And we're told by Rashi, why are aniye ircha kodmin? Dahanach hava imach tvei. What does that mean? What? In the Pasuk? You think it's Amcha? Why do you think that? You don't think it's more with you? I don't think they're more your nation, they're more with you, right? You should support somebody with you, and the person next door is more with you than somebody else. No? That's how I read it. Daniel's with me? So they're more with you, at least on Rashi's reading. Rashi Bamitzia. Put in the Nakudos for Ned. Imcha Tve. Meaning they're more with you. They're more a part of you. They're more a part of your society. And that's why they get priority. Now, this gets this Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, which we know. And we have another version of this separate from the Gemara Bava Metzia, that comes out of the Sifrei. So we have the Sifrei in Devarim Parsha Surei Pisco Kuf Tes Zayin. So Kiya Bicha Evyon. Okay. What's the rest of the Pasuk? Anybody know offhand? Pasuk, anyone? Somebody? Pull up a pasuk. Well, yes, I'll pull it up for us if you can. But the Sifrei Darshins, the end of the pasuk is V'achad Sha'arecha. What does that mean? In your gates, right? What does gates imply? Yoshve Ircha Kodmin Li Yoshve Ir Acheres. That the pasuk itself singles out not just imcha in the other pasuk, but be'achad sha'arecha implies there's something special about individuating your shar, your neighborhood, your city, over other cities. Okay, and notice the phrase here in the Sifrei, what word stands out because it's bolded on the board? Yoshve. What's the significance of Yoshve? Josh?
That it's not the guy that's just passing through because he's traveling.
Exactly. It's not the guy who's just passing through, but a co-dweller. Right? He lives, he has residency in your town. Did anybody see that? So this makes me think that when we talk about Aniye Ircha, it's not just about, we spoke a little bit in the last year about the suffering right in front of you. Romi, I think you brought this up, right? It could be that there's a visitor passing through town who's in need, But if you're medayik in yoshvei, it has to be more permanent than that. Right? A co-dweller. Maybe that's for reasons that, you know, Romy listed in the last year, something about a mutual dependency. You depend on him, he depends on you in some way. Right? That could be part of it. But yoshvei here is important. And we'll see this come explicitly to the foreground in a debate between the tour and his bar plugta. I don't know if anybody saw that, but we'll see that in a second. Ariel, you have a hand on this? Or?
Yeah, I guess I'm just thinking, especially with the logic we were saying before, in terms of seeing somebody who's close to you passing through, from the psukim that, or from the infraction that we saw that discussed whether or not you'd be giving tzedakah to non-Jews or not, in those scenarios, would you overpass non-Jews to go towards Jews?
Yeah, we'll talk about the Jew versus non-Jew thing soon, but it's seemingly yes. It seems like the non-Jew is very low on the hierarchy overall. So yeah, we'll talk about that.
So that would be more of an ethical situation.
Good, we'll talk, yeah, we're going to talk about that. First, I want to focus on the location thing. Then we'll talk about other principles of prioritization. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about what happens when those principles clash with each other. Mm-hmm. Right? How do you prioritize the principles amongst themselves? Right? That's why it's a very rich discussion, even beyond just tzedakah, right? It's you have different principles of, you know, who we should respect, who we should value, who we should prioritize, and then, you know, within those, what's the hierarchy? So it's a ranking of the principles, not just principles of ranking, right? So the Bir Agra and the Aruch HaShulchan both quote a different source, not the Sifrei, not the Gemara. They quote a Tana de Be'el Yahu in Parak Chav Zayin, who says this. First, you should support your family. We'll talk about this family thing. But if you've already supported your family, imhosir, if you have left over, what are we told? Yifarnes esbenei shchunaso. V'imhosir yifarnes esbenei mavoi shalo. So what do we get in this analysis? It doesn't just end at aniye ircha. We have a more fine-grained hierarchy within your ear, Ned. What?
Neighborhood.
Yeah, more precisely defined neighborhood, and then mavli. So it sounds literally the person that you're closer to in your neighborhood, or geographically, spatially closer to, they get priority over someone who's further out. Correct? Did I see that? So it's not just Yircha from the time of the Ve'el Yahu, at the Gra quotes here in Simon Reish and Aleph, we get this idea of a shchuna and the idea of mavoi. Correct? Okay. So the idea is, you know, look, people in Washington Heights get priority over people in Manhattan, who get priority over people in the other boroughs, who get priority over Teaneck, etc. Romy?
Isn't mavoi, what is that?
Mavoi is alleyway, strictly speaking. What?
So how does that work here?
The idea is that, you know, a lot of poskim think the best way to think of a mavoi is like a neighborhood, just because you'd have like one main alleyway for big street and all these chatseros, you know, off the main road, off the mavoi.
So the shchuna is not a neighborhood, is that really what that means? It's like a...
Yeah, like you can think like... Basically. Exactly. You can think of somebody who lives in an apartment building, right? So everybody in your building is your shchuna, and then the road that connects those buildings is the neighborhood, right? That's the mavoi. Anybody live in an apartment complex? If you, no? Like, have you been, anybody ever visited Einstein? Yeah, so you visit your brother. What? Yeah, well, you know, you have these three big buildings where everybody lives, so the people in your building are your shchuna, and then there's like a big... Chutz area that joins all the apartment buildings, and that would be the equivalent of a mavoi. Okay? Great. Now, what we saw in the last year is some more specifications of the significance of location, or qualifications of the significance of location. So, for example, we saw this Orach Chaim. Sorry, we saw the Chachmas Adam in Hilchos Tzedakah, right? Who says what? He said that a shachin is somebody who's Misha Ragil Imo, below Misha Dar B'Shchunas Beso. So what's the significance of this contribution of the Chachma Sadha? That it's Ragyo Imo, which meant what? You have some, Daniel? Exactly. You have some ongoing economic relationship with them. We saw a version of this in the Minchas Elazar, who says... What?
It's supposed to be economic relationship.
No, I guess it doesn't have to be. It could be social, right? Abromi gave the example of, you know, you rely on the other person for babysitting,
right?
Tzadik goes there, V'akadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Just yesterday, my neighbor asked, kind of said like, oh, my babysitter has to leave. She's going to drop her kid off at your house for... 10 minutes. 10 minutes turned into 45 minutes. So Romy, you declared it and then it happened. So watch what you say. But yes, there's this notion of frequency, and maybe Romy's right that this is about mutual dependence. In the Minchas Elazar, we saw that this is something about who kreva daita today, right? This notion of how much, how do you translate kir badas? How do you translate Kriva Das, Josh?
Close you feel to them?
Yeah. How close you feel to someone, right? So these are all different types of closeness based off social relations and proximity. I think this came to, let me say a few other things about this. The Mizrahi in Siman Nun Gimel, we encountered the Mizrahi earlier in our discussion of Rashan B'nai Ya'ir, also about communal authority type issues. He has a very interesting point. What does he say in Siman Nun Gimel? Daniel?
If you have many gilos within a city, right, then you wouldn't really consider that every single one of those gilos really are Ani Ya'ir, rather the Ani of the gilos.
Yeah, closer to you, right? So let's say you live in Teaneck, and there's lots of Jews who live in Bergen County. You daven in Pekashul,
Rinat.
So the theory is of the Mizrahi, you have a greater responsibility to other members of your kahal over the aniye ircha that go to other kehilos. Right, so it's not just a geographical, there's this notion of a kahal that cuts across geographical definitions. Does anybody see that? That's actually an interesting question. I was trying to figure out, I had some matanos levyonim to distribute on Purim. So is there a preference for me to give it to just anybody in my neighborhood, Lower Merion, or specifically to the people who are members of my kahila, right? So the Mizrahi would say there's a clear preference for members of your kahila, right? He says havalei kol aniye kahilo kahilo ka aniye ir acheres. Somebody see that? It's a very important view in general. You know, you have Ashkenazi communities and Sephardi communities in the same neighborhood. The Radach think, the Mizrahi thinks there's something special about this notion of a kahal. So I'm going to add it here. It's not mugum per se, but kahal more fundamental. It's an interesting question, by the way. You could have a neighbor who davens at, what's the competitor to Rinat? Let's say B'nai Ashurin. So maybe you have a chiv tztaka to your Rinat co-misbalel, even if they live a few blocks away over the neighbor, arguably. Josh and Ned.
I think we saw a similar thing in the Rosh Hashanah years ago, so I wonder how much of this is like specifically like dins and tzedakah. And
exactly, yeah. Arguably, this is not a din in tzedakah per se. We saw this in Rosh Hashanah B'nai Ya'ir, right? How do you define an year? The guild, right? The members of the B'nai Omenos. 100%. Ned?
How do these factors interact with the other factors? So, like, let's say the person did two shoals, one shoal had.
We don't know. The answer is we don't know yet. This was my issue on Purim, because I don't really, somebody in my neighborhood asked me to fill out, it's not a good thing, I shouldn't say it. I mean, like, it happens to be where I daven, people are in a very comfortable socioeconomic bracket, right? So the question is, does how much are you supposed to prioritize those people over, of the kahal, let's say, over the ear, where they have greater needs, correct? But that gets into the question of the hierarchy amongst the principles of hierarchy, right? We're not into the hierarchy amongst the principles yet.
Well, this sounds like it can get very complicated and very fast.
Well, this is Aniya Yerchel Klugman is one principle of it's one principle of priority.
And then add in.
But then you have to figure out how do you prioritize different principles, right? So we could call this, I'll just call it principle one for now, right? The Aniya Yerchel thing. And then Aniya Yerchel, we're saying, look, it's it itself is a little complicated. Shchuna, Mavoi, Rogelimo, Kirv Daite, Kahal, right? These are different hierarchies within this one principle, correct?
Then add in Daimasaro versus other...
Correct. Yeah, so Daimasrachim, the type of need, is also a principle of priority, we'll see. Correct? Like we saw, Lachasos versus Lafarnes, Lachayos, which comes first, correct?
That was in the individual, once you've chosen between a particular locale, or you've chosen one of these principles.
So I think we're going to have to raise that into the, bring that into the discussion. Okay, everyone's stressed out already.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ned's stressed and Ariel's stressed.
There's two people asking for Zoom.
Ooh. How do we know who the... They want Zoom?
They want the Spartacus one.
Who wants?
Is that Granick and Ariel Tucker want Zooms?
Yeah, sure.
Which one hasn't been
dead? Well?
Which one hasn't been dead?
When did they ask? When was the request?
11:18.
Okay, so should we let them in? Just give me 1 second, then. 30-second diversion. I'm not going to share my screen with them. That's going to be their punishment. Okay.
But it doesn't seem like this could be like a simple Excel sort.
Anything could be an Excel sort. No?
No.
Hey guys, we're on the... Welcome. So we're just on the Makoro sheet on page 78. Okay, right now. I'm just not going to be able to share my screen because I'm using the computer monitoring class. All right? Okay, everybody with me? Did I just destroy something back? Yeah, there we go. Okay, so let me add a little bit further to this. We good? Okay. I left off with Ariel saying you're stressed, and then he has found the WhatsApp, guys. Yeah, guys, just send me a text before Shir to let me know in advance. I can set up in advance, generally. All right? Great.
I can't hear anything, but I think that's...
You can't hear anything?
Yeah.
Can you hear now? Hey, maybe it's on your side, Zev. Ariel, can you hear?
I can't hear anything.
All right. What? Uh-oh. Let's see if Ariel... One second. Microphone. How about now? Eek. I'll start again for you guys, okay? See if this works. All right, we'll see if they make it in. If not, too bad. Okay, so look at the tour in Yeridaya, Rishon and Aleph. So we have a debate here between... We have a debate here between the... tour, Rishon and Aleph. Just text Ariel. Just text him that I restarted the Zoom for them. That we have a tour based on Aleph. He quotes a debate between himself and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Baruch. Anybody see this? So let's look at this. So we're told the following. Aniye beso kodman l'aniye iro, aniye iro kodman l'aniye ir acheres, she'ela. Reuven ha'ilo aniyim harbe krovim be'ir. So Reuven has a lot of nearby aniyim, or I want to say relatives. That's probably the better translation. V'shimon shchino lo ha'ilo. V'ratza Reuven lasos kitzvo gedola la'aniye ha'ir l'chalek lahem. U'lema'et kitzvas ha'aniyim ha'acherim habayim. Mipnei she'amar aniye ircha kodmin v'shimon lo ratza. So what do you take to have been going on here? Zev, can you hear now? Zev? I don't think Zev could hear. Still no good. What do you take is going on here? Josh?
Sounds like one guy, was it Reuven? Yeah, Reuven wants to make sure that all the money is going to the people that he wants the money to go to. So if this is relatives, then he wants his neighbor to also pay most of the money to his relatives instead of the people.
Yeah, and he wants to make sure that the money is not going to go to Aniyim, Achirim, Habayim. Basically, it's interesting, Reuven is a bit of a conflict of interest. He has a lot of relatives in town, right? So let's say it's mostly his family that lives here. So he wants to make sure that the tzedakah funds go to the aniyim of this town, correct? He wants to limit...
It's working?
Meaning what's working? The audio? Oh, so it's Zev's audio that's no good? Okay, Zev could hear now. Zev, you could hear now? Great. Just needed you to sign in, and then that solved all the problems. So, does everybody see the issue? Yeah, he wants to limit the tzedakah to the non-B'nai Ha'ir. Yeah? So, we're told, V'chasav harav r'bitzak b'rabaruch, she'ein shomim l'Reuven. Why? So you have a question. Should you give a lot of money to the residents of town and a little money to the people who are visiting town? Or should you allocate an equal amount to the residents and non-residents who are passing through town? How did Rabbi Yitzchak bar Baruch paskin? Aniye ircha kodmin applies to even the people who pass through town, correct? Now, by the way, the argument of Reuven itself relied on Aniye Ircha Kodmin. Right? Reuven clearly interpreted Aniye Ircha Kodmin to mean the residents of town, like we saw in the Sifrei. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Baruch disagrees and says, no, it's literally anybody who's passing in your proximity, which is like Romy wanted to read it initially, right? The people who are before you. The Tur disagrees with Rabbi Yitzchak bar Baruch and sides with Reuven. And he says, "Ve'ino nirali devadai aniye ha'ir kodmin." There's something special about the residents of town that they get priority over others. And you can see when you get to the Shulchan Aruch, you get this very clear. The Raman Reish Nun Aleph says, "V'hakvuim be'ir kruyim aniye ha'ir, v'heim kodmin la'aniyim acherim habayim l'shami mekomos acherim." That's his digestion of the tour disagreeing with Rabbi Yitzchak bar Baruch. And it's got to be an ani kavua. Okay. Good. So that's a very clear position on this. Let me just say, there's a slightly... Yeah, well, let me say... We need to figure out what's special about Aniye Ircha. Right, we don't know that for sure. We saw in the last year a few possibilities that we threw out. One was some type of efficiency argument. I think there was another view out there, more fundamental, that what? It's about
relationships.
What?
Relationships.
Let's say im chatfei, something about there's something just morally prior to the people who are in your jurisdiction, so responsibility. Let's say people that you are responsible for. Why are you responsible for them more? One suggestion we had is that it creates a tighter type of society, right? I want to say one thing about that suggestion, Shmuel.
Oh, I'd like just a third suggestion or question on a possible third suggestion. Would self-interest go under efficiency or...
Yeah, what's the self-interest idea?
Like, for example, like housing the homeless so they don't harass people or so that they're not, I don't know, future economic burden.
Meaning on yourself or...
Right. Yes.
That you're going to be saved?
Yes.
That if you give tzedakah, you'll...
If you give tzedakah, you house the homeless, then they're not going to harass you.
Oh, meaning it's good for your society itself.
Right. Does that fall under efficiency or...
Yeah. You want to say something like tikkun? The way Shmuel wants to say this is that this is like... it's like a b'nei ha'ir governance type thing. Yes? Where it's like for the betterment of the city itself. It's not a responsibility to that Niyam per se, but it's part of your responsibility to the other B'nai Ha'ir. That's the way I think it. It's an interesting point. I want to think about that more. Right?
I think you're talking about enter.
Just keeps doing this.
We get the record for the longest
approach. Yeah. How do I get it to stop doing that? Something pressing enter here? Did it stop? Am I actually going to have to backspace like a million pages now? What? Yeah, I'm just going to... Whatever. Okay, I'm going to just stick with our... Yeah, I'll figure this out later. A disaster. What?
Car's gonna be surprised.
Oh, I see. This
we'll,
just
we'll
jump.
We'll be surprised
at 145 pages. It's ridiculous. I need to get this anyway. I need. It's a space in the middle of our source sheet. Sorry, disaster.
Imagine somebody tried printing this without looking.
Oh, you can re-put it in the sheets of paper.
Well, okay, we're back to 96. That's better. Still pretty big as it is. Okay, here we go. Okay. I wanted to just add one thing related to. I'm not sure which point it falls under. But it's less about the antecedent responsibility you have to the Aniyei Ircha, but arguably about the result that comes about from supporting Aniyei Ircha. Maybe this is what Romeo was getting at, but you know, you could think of this in the sense of the Mishnah in Avos, which gets paskined in Shulchan Aruch. So Avos Aleph Hey. We have this idea of Yosi ben Yochanan Yishu Shalayim Omer, Yihi Beischa Pasuach Lervacha, Viyu Aniyim B'nei Beischa. So what's the idea of Viyu Aniyim B'nei Beischa? Arguably, one aspect of it is that it's good for you to be in this type of basic relationship with the Aniyim. Right. You could read the Mishnah as saying, oh, you have a duty to support Aniyim, so you Aniyim b'nei Beischa. But you could read this in terms of like what we saw in Beishar V'delas, that it's a bad thing to have the separation between you and the Ani. So you could say actually Aniyei Ircha Kodmin is partially so that there is some direct support between the Aniyim and the Ashirim in the town. right? So it strengthens the ties. It's not that you have a duty to Ani Yircha because there are antecedent social ties, but the opposite, that the chiyuv to give tzedakah to Ani Yircha, that strengthens the ties within the people of the city. Do I see that? Arguably. Right, so the Aniyim are now supported by the local Ashirim. It's different from saying, oh, I'm writing a check overseas where there's the tzedakah that you're giving doesn't foster any type of social interdependency or social relationship. Does everybody see that? Arguably. Josh?
You're saying that from the giver's perspective or from
both
the
eyes? I want to say both, arguably. Both. It's something to think about. There's not much evidence for it, but it could be consistent with the idea of you, Aniyim, B'nai Besa, that in town, right, you should be supporting the local Aniyim. They're supported by you, everybody in the community. The institution of tzedakah fosters the tighter social fabric of town. Make sense? You don't have to be convinced by the idea. I just want us to be aware of its existence. In which case, Ani Yircha Kodmin is not a result of antecedent social obligations or antecedent notion of who you're obligated to. The obligation is instrumental in creating some sort of the type of society that Torah envisions. That's the idea. Benji, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, just to wrap up this discussion of Ani Yircha, this component of it, we saw a few things that... All right, here's the space. We saw a few things that reflect that Ani Yircha has priority over other principles. So what are some examples of this, of Ani Yircha having priority over other principles? Josh?
For relatives, it seems like maybe the ones in your ear take precedent over relatives in frequency.
Good. We had one view about that. Who said that? Yerchas Chaim. Yerchas Chaim said that... Shachin could have priority, so let me say this is about priority between principles. Let's say P2 is the principle of Krovim. Yes? So we're told by the Or Chaim that in certain cases, P1 has priority over P2. Right, in the case where you have a shachin who is close to you, that guy has priority over the relative who's out of town. Rome, you wanted to emphasize that it's who derachim le, right? That you're on good terms with this. You didn't want to emphasize that. Bill, do you want to emphasize that?
Somebody that wasn't me wanted
to
emphasize that.
What?
Somebody that wasn't me wanted to emphasize that. I didn't like that, and that's why I tried to read it away with my reading.
Right, well, Ned said it's love. You agree with me that it...
Ned suggested that there's a possible reason.
Right, right. Well. I think the softer reading is better. Daniel, this is your reading?
The Rockin' Lane?
Yeah. Yeah. The neighbor that you like or something.
Yeah.
Why is that important?
Because then we wouldn't get into the problem of the Aniyecha versus Aniyecha. As this is just a subcategory.
Yes, yes, correct. You wanted to say this is the way to make sense of the hierarchies. Yeah. So at least in a case of Rachim Leh, the Ani Yircha Kodmin is more important than a Karov. Okay? Now again, it's worth considering whether this is just for tzedakah or does it apply also to like weddings? Right? You have a relative, some people say family is always first.
What do you mean by weddings?
Let's say, oh, like for a Nichum Avelim or Achnas, like going to a wedding, right? It's an interesting question. You have a shachin karov, a close neighbor or a close friend. Does that take priority over a karov rachok? You say never.
Not in real life.
What's not in real life?
Meaning you go to your relative's wedding over your neighbor's. No.
Who's you?
I don't know. People.
But why should that be different than this Or Chos Chaim's point? Right? The Or Chos Chaim's point is that in duties of charity, the Shachin Derachim Leh has priority. So maybe Hu Adim for all Gemilas Chasadim principles. It's a big stretch. Why? Why?
Marriage is about, it's like the family. It's more.
Maybe the family only has instrumental significance. Meaning, why is what you see from this Orphos Chaim that a Karov is not an absolute trump card? Right? We don't say that a relative is an automatic defeater. It's not automatically prior, categorically prior to other principles. Family is just one consideration in the halachic hierarchy of principles.
Yeah, say that there's say that that's true of tzedakah doesn't necessarily mean it extends to other things. So, for example, might apply to tzedakah because tzedakah is about responsibility. There's no.
Well, what is the milas chasadim of going to weddings?
So you can argue,
with sameach chasam mekala.
So you can argue that tzedakah is just kind of technical. If someone needs money, we can give money. My responsibility is this person, or even strengthening the social fabric. I don't believe this person. There's no emotions or psychological anything involved. Maybe they do the yoni, but that's not relevant.
Maybe weddings is also to strengthen.
So maybe weddings are for that, and maybe weddings are.
One's giving us chasadim begufa. One's
chasadim mekala. So definitely, my neighbor cares much less than my cousin.
Why?
I mean, your neighbor cares. Much more happy if I came to her wedding than if I went to my neighbor's wedding.
Not necessarily. Not what if you have a cousin who you don't like so much or doesn't like you so much, and you have a neighbor that really depends on you.
Right. So okay. So all you're saying is that most, meaning happen to me most of the time, the people that it makes a bigger impact to are more related to. But that's not the point.
Right.
Oh, I don't agree with that. You also agree with that.
Yeah. But that would be like the Minchas Elazar's point. It's all about Kir of Das, right? Or like the Chof Masadam Rogelimo. You know, who do you spend more time with, right? Or who you have this close relationship with. Yeah, but I don't think there's a reason to say that once he's relying on this pasuk of Tov Shachim Karov Me'ach Rachok, that it's exclusively about tzedakah. You're right, in his context, he's talking about Hilchos Tzedakah. Okay? We'll see actually in a moment the boundaries being blurred explicitly to other areas of halakha. Okay. Good, so that's what I wanted to cover. Oh, I want to say one other thing about the prioritization issue. In the Sifrei, you get Yoshevei Ircha Kodim LeYoshevei Iracheres. This is on page 75. And then we're told, Ba'artzecha Yoshevei Ha'aretz Kodim LeYoshevei Chutzlaretz. Everybody see that? That there's some priority for Yoshevei Eretz Yisrael. We'll talk about that in a moment. If you look at the Bach says, in Simon Rashin and Aleph. Aniye Iro Kodim Aniye Yerecheres, Tani Besifrei, etc. Aniye Yercha Kodim Aniye Yerecheres, Yoshevei Eretz Yisrael Kodim LeYoshevei Chutzlaretz, V'nira Divishneihem Me Yerecheres, Kamar. The Yoshevei Eretz Yisrael Kodim LeYoshevei Chutzlaretz. Aval Aniye Iro B'Chutzlaretz, Pshita De Kodim LeAniye Yerecheres, Afilo Heim Eretz Yisrael. What's his point? Josh?
But then, yeah, your Kodman takes precedence over.
That's right. There's a clear priority of, let's call Aniye Eretz Yisrael the idea, we'll call it just P5 for now. We'll explain why, but. Eretz Yisrael, so P1 has priority over P5. Right, Aniye Yircha get priority over Aniye Eretz Yisrael. Correct? What else did we have in terms of the priority between principles? We saw in the Pisrei Tshuva one other comment on this score. Yes. So let's look at that Pisrei Tshuva. Here on page 75. In your Yerdeh Reishon and Aleph Gimel, read it for us. Let's take a volunteer. How about Eitan? Got it?
Yeah. The Yoshevei Eretz Yisrael.
Here, the Gimel. Ach. We're on page 75, Pischei Tshuva. Ayin Tshuva Shemesh Tzedakah.
Ayin Tshuva Shemesh Tzedakah.
Yeah. So, Aniye Iro, who are Amaratzim, get priority over Talmid Chachamim, who are Aniyim of Ir Acheres. Yes? Make sense to you guys? So we're told, let's take P4 is the principal. Probably can't see this over here. So according to the Pischei Tshuva, let's say P4 is the priority of Talmidei Chachamim over non-Talmidei Chachamim. P1 has precedence over P4. Good? Agree with me? Great. So now let's move to our second major principle. Rumi, you have a question? Let's look at our second major principle. What do you take to be the second major principle? Well, we could cut it in different ways.
Family.
Family gets a lot of press in the Gemaras, that's right. So let's look at the din of Kedima for your Mishpacha. We're told that a person has... So can I erase this discussion of Ani Ayurcha? Yeah. So we're told that there's priority for your mishpacha. Should we include Chayacha Kodman as an example of precedence of mishpacha, or is that a sui generis principle? Like, is your duty to yourself just a form of your kirva to yourself, or is it something different?
I'd say something different.
Something different? Okay, so let's talk about the idea of krovim. And here I want to be very careful. So we know that there's preference given to krovim. Presumably that even emerges directly from the sugyos in Bava Metzia, because there we're told, aniyecha v'aniye ircha, aniyecha have priority over aniye ircha. What are aniyacha? So Rashi says, aniyim shehem krovin umi mishpachtecha, family. Right? Aniyim that are relatives from your own family, they get priority. Aniyacha kodmin, dichsib imach hakrovim lecha. They're considered closer than other aniyim. Okay? So in the standard reading of the Gemara, correct? P2, this is Daniel's point, really. P2 is greater than P1 because we're told that Aniyecha v'Aniyecha, Aniyecha kodmin. So Aniye mishpachtecha come over, get priority over location considerations, correct? And that's why Zolti wants to say that the Orchos Chaim's example, who de Rachim, there has to be some special Trump consideration of Rachim, friendship. Good. In the Sifrei, you have a similar point. We're told the following. Kiye Becha Avion. So we're told Achicha. There's some priority given to Achicha. Over Achad Sha'arecha. Ned, did you pull up the Pasuk in Rei? Kiye Becha Avion. So you want to read it to us for a second? Yeah, so you see the progression in the pasuk. It starts with, where does it start with?
Achecha, sherecha.
Achecha, and then sherecha. So family in the pasuk gets priority over non-family, generally speaking. Okay? Now, the Gra cites the Tana de Be'al Yo, who invokes a pasuk to support this. Mibsarcha lo tisalem. Which is a special halacha establishing that you have a responsibility towards your family members. Okay? Now, if you look at some of the commentators here, You get a more, so I'm gonna move us to page 84 in the source sheet. You get a very fascinating observation about the internal hierarchy within Mishpacha. So what do we get, well, before we get to this source, what do you have in the Shulchan Aruch about the hierarchy within family? I'll pull it up again. I have the Shulchan Aruch at the very beginning. Yeah, good. So you have parents coming first. Here's the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Nun Aleph Gimel. Hanosein matanos la'aviv, hareza b'chalal tzedaka, v'lo od el tzarich lahakdimo le'acherim. You have to give your parents before you give others. Okay. Tzarech, krovo tzarech lahakdimo l'chol adam. And then we're told, ve'echav me'aviv kodim la'achav me'imo. There's a hierarchy that your paternal family comes over your maternal family. Okay, and then if you look at the Ramah flushes it out a little further. He says, yaktim parnasas aviv imo imhem aniyim, v'hem kodmin leparnasas banav. V'yachar kach banav, v'hem kodmin le'achav. V'hem kodmin l'shar krovim. So what's the hierarchy that the Ramah here quotes? Within family, parents. After parents, who? Children. And then siblings. And then shar krovim. Yes? Okay. What's the theory for that internal hierarchy? Why should parents get before children? Why should children get your tzedakah before your siblings? Is this just a din in imcha tfei, who you're closer to? What does this hierarchy itself reflect? Daniel?
Parents just be a kibud aveim.
Okay, parents, you have a chiyuv of kibud aveim. Everybody agree with Zulti? That it's the chiyuv of kibud aveim which drives the priority of parents? Josh, you agree with Zulti or no?
I mean, I definitely agree that that's a possibility. I think another idea might be if it's about like codependency and relationships, since your parents like gave you a lot of things growing up, maybe that like creates like a some kind of...
That could be a reason.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's like a natural reason for kibud aveim, right? Akar satov. You benefited from them, so you have a duty to reciprocate. Actually, if you look here, I'm just going to pull this up. You have a very nice formulation of this in the Jerisha, where I was a second ago. Here, this is the Drisha on page 84. So the Drisha in Reish Nun Aleph Beis is worried about something. What's he worried about in the hierarchy?
Why is it different than Yerusha?
What?
Why is it different than Yerusha?
Yeah, why is this different than Yerusha? In Yerusha, what do you have?
Children first.
Children have priority for Yerusha over parents. So why does, in your chiyuv lefarnes, why do your parents come over your children? So what does he say? Zolti, you should like this. V'hatam. Yeah, or you can just tell us, but yeah, you read it for us. Loud and clear.
V'hatam kand ayvayim layak afayim tavarabim. So,
what's the answer?
So, as in, it's more degree for the father to have to go around to houses than it's for the son.
Good. So, what drives the priority? Well,
Chiyuv Kavod Aviv.
Yes. Now, is that internal to Hilfos Tzedakah?
It doesn't sound like it's intended to keep with Avraham so much.
No. He says,
He makes it sound like it's...
He says, Chayav b'kavod aviv yoser mikavod banav.
Right, but it's not chayav of kavod banav.
That's why your chayav of your kavod of parents is greater than the non-chayav kavod for banim.
It sounds like it's more
degrading
your parents to go around than your kids.
But he says, Chayiv b'kavod aviv yoser. Doesn't that sound like it's about your halachic obligation of kibud avim? No? What do you guys think? Benji?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Ah, so what is this then? This is a halacha of hilchos kibud avim impinging upon the halachos of tzedakah. Yes? Something like that. Now, what's the upshot of that? The upshot of that is...
That's not really what the theme is supposed to be when it comes to stuck in general, but this just repeats everything
else. Keep it up,
yeah.
Maybe. That's one way of putting it. If you don't want to go as extreme as Romy, then you could say what? Or if you don't want to even accept my formulation, that this is, or Benji's perspective, that this is an external principle of kibud av ve aim infringing upon hilchos tzedakah, what would you say? Josh?
That part of tzedakah is about giving kavod, so it's more of an internal thing, maybe?
Something like that. Or that part of how we prioritize tzedakah is through the obligations of kavod. Yes? Meaning, maybe this hierarchy suggests that one major principle of prioritizing in halacha itself pertains to kavod. Who do we have a duty to honor? This we know for Kohanim. Benji, tell us about it. What do we all have a duty to do to Kohanim?
Give them food first.
Yeah, the Kiddushto, right? Honor Kohanim, hold the door for the Kohen, give him the first Aliyah. Somehow that becomes relevant for prioritizing Hilchos Tzedakah. Yes?
Kohanim?
Hold on, we'll hold off on that for a second. I'm just saying you see this very delicately in this comment of the Drisha explaining why parents have a din kedima, prior entitlement to your tzedakah over your banim, which is contrary to the laws of Yerusha. Okay? Now the Drisha has a second daya. What's his second daya? The O, Dibi Yerusha. Go ahead, Zolt. What's his second argument for this?
It doesn't really make sense that you give it to, because in Yerusha, though, the reason why you give it to first, that doesn't make sense to give it to your parents before your kids, because then your money will then be dispersed to all the siblings.
And why is that a problem?
Because it's supposed to go to your kids, not to your siblings.
Yeah, why is it supposed to go to your kids? It's not so clear. What do you think his concern is? Yuchsar Lebanav, what's that concern?
If the kid's parents die and they don't have the Yerusha, then they're going to be left out to dry.
Yeah, something like that. It just sounds almost like they're going to be left out to dry, or it's less efficient to distribute it. If it goes back to the parents, then it gets redistributed to the siblings. But Yerusha accomplishes less of what it's able to accomplish, if you do it that way. But that makes it sound that Yerusha is the exception. Right, maybe the second day of the Prisha wants to say, from a kirva perspective, from a sense of closeness, who are you closer to? Who are you imcha tfei, your parents or your children? According to the second day?
So it's the parents.
According to the second day?
Children?
Yeah, parents.
Oh, parents. I thought you were saying, like, it's the other option.
Yes.
I also
yes. Yeah, to your parents. You're closer to your parents. And Yerusha is just an exception that we want to distribute it to your children.
That's not about Kirbus. That's about, you just said that's about Kabbalah.
What?
That thing.
No, the first day explains it. I think, look, the really, the default is from Imcha Tvei. Let me take a step back. Why does family have precedent? Because we're told Aniyecha. Rashi says Imcha Tvei. Mishpacha is more Imcha than your neighbor, generally speaking, barring the Rachim shopping, correct? Then we're told, well, how do we prioritize within the family? Parents over children, correct? So the Prisha says, here are two suggestions. Suggestion number two is that really it should go, really parents get it first. Just under the pure principles of tzedakah hierarchy, Yerusha is the one that messes up those pure principles for the efficiency of distributing your assets after you die, so that the children aren't left high and dry, as Josh said. But from the pure principles of what I take to be the underlying consideration of tzedakah, who's imcha tvei, parents are closer to you. Yes? According to the first theory, of the Prisha, from the pure principles of tzedakah, your children should get your tzedakah first. But the dinim of kavod impinge upon that din and require you to support your parents first. So from a aniyecha imcha tvei perspective, it should go to the children. But kavod then points it upwards and favors the parents.
So basically, analysis?
Yeah? So actually, in this... Daniel, you have a...
Yeah.
Who are you closer to? Your parents, or you don't have children, so that's a good point.
My parents.
Well?
My parents.
It's actually a very nice drisha, right? There's a lot packed in here. Go ahead, Daniel.
Going back to the kavod part, and we're totally basing the hierarchy of who you give first to based on kavod. But where do your grandparents fall into this? This at first, I would assume grandparents fall under the shark of Grover. But if we're going based on kavod, I feel like that should be right after their parents.
Maybe. I don't think grandparents make it into this discussion here. But yeah, we could run the analysis to grandparents also.
As in, I assume that the grandparents for category D are coping.
Not obviously.
But then...
That's right, you might say...
How you want to explain this, it sounds like they should really be right as parents.
That's right. Arguably. Is that a problem, or...?
I'm just not clear if he says that, but I guess he doesn't necessarily say that.
Right. From an efficiency perspective, that might seem strange, right? But you're right, from a kavod perspective, the grandparents would belong in here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is it possible that, I mean, I realize it makes much sense, but is it possible that the Drisha is just saying, my kasha is not sort of kasha? The second part of the Drisha is saying, yeah, the kasha is not sort of kasha. It doesn't mean that they're making the parents are prioritized because...
You could say that. You could say the second answer accepts the first answer and just throws in a second consideration. But the way I understand the second answer is that the second answer doesn't need the first answer. Right? The second answer doesn't need the first answer because...
It depends on how bothered you are by the idea that you'd be more corrupt than apparently it's not crazy.
I don't think either is crazy. I think to my mind, it's an open question. Who are you closer to? Right? From a kurva perspective. Ed?
I'm following the second answer.
What?
I'm not following the second answer.
Okay. So he's worried about... Yerusha implies children over parents. Tzedakah implies parents over children.
Right.
How do you reconcile that? Answer number two is that... parents over children, Yerusha is an exceptional case because we can't leave the children high and dry. Or it would just be really inefficient to distribute Yerusha upwards and then to all the siblings.
So, but Aviv there is the guy who died.
No, the parent of the deceased. If the halacha were that when you have children and a parent, I thought we were going to avoid the Yeshnuchlin things. We have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Yeah.
Yitzchak dies. If the Yerusha were to go to Avram, it's kind of messy, right? Then
when Avram dies,
it goes, a little, some of that goes to Yishmael.
Yeah, it
right? It gets redistributed laterally.
Right.
So the thought is then, poor Yaakov, who's supporting him? Who's supporting him when his father dies?
Yeah, so the Nachal Me'aviv is the Chozer Nachal Me'aviv, meaning from the...
When Avram dies, then it gets distributed to Yishmael and the B'nai Keturah.
B'nav of the sons of the father.
Correct.
A little bit of Avram, right?
Yeah. Okay, everybody good with this analysis? Yeah? The hierarchy within the family discussion. There's some very cute diukim that the Rishonim have here from the Psukim in Psukim in Malachim, and there's a Pasuk also in Bereishis. Some are Medaik in this Pasuk in Bereishis. Ayomer Yehuda El Yisrael Laviv Shilcha Nar Iti V'Nakuma V'Neilcha V'Neilecha V'nichya v'lo namus, gam anachnu, gam ata, gam tapenu. So what's the diak here in the hierarchy of v'nichya? They prioritize themselves, then the parent, right, Yaakov, and only then their kids. So a lot of Rishonim, a lot of poskim here see this as a nice diak supporting the view that why parents have priority over, or supporting the fact that parents have priority over the other children. Okay. That's what I want to say on the kurva level. I want to move us to a third principle. Let's, what should we take as our third major principle, guys? What? Chayecha. I don't want to get to yet, because it's tricky. I want to get to the most controversial. I want to get in two controversial ones today.
The caste system.
The caste system. Well, when you put it that way, Ned. The Gemara in Horios, you Gimel Amid Aleph. Right? And this is paskind in the Shulchan Aruch and Yeridea Hilchos Tzedaka Reish Nun Aleph. And we want to know, what is this system? Is this an iteration of Kavod? Is that what underlies this principle? So we have, let's say, one would be proximity, two would be family, and three is what? Kavod? We have a duty to respect. So let's see. Shulchan Aruch says, "Ha'yilapan avaniim harbe ve'im bekis lefarnes olachasos oliftos kulam." What should we do? What's the kedimus here? Makdim Benji over everyone else. No one's excited by that. Yeah, only Benji's having this. Yermachtim the Kohen to the Levi to Yisrael to the Chalal to the Shtuki to the Asufi, the Asufi to the Mamzer to the Nasan to the Ger, and the Ger to the Avin Meshuchrar. Well,
it's not good.
You don't like this?
Good, it says.
So Mishnah, it's not even buried in the Shulchan Aruch, right? It's a straightforward Mishnah in Horios. Ha'ish kodem la'isha la'hachayos. So the Shulchan Aruch even has men over women. So generally, men over a woman, and then Kohanim over Levim, Levim over Yisraelim, etc., like the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. So what explains this? If you look at the Gemara, How does the Gemara explain this hierarchy? Anybody see the Gemara in Horios Yud Gimel? Kobe, did you see the Gemara in Horios Yud Gimel?
Yes.
So how does the Gemara explain the hierarchy? Just give me the theme. What are the types of considerations that the Gemara appeals to?
Kedusha.
Yeah, so Kohanim is Kedusha.
It has like
Kibbutzua
versus
Mekir. So Levium also seems to be a type of. For Kohanim, it's clear because Moshe separated the Kohanim, Lakdisham, Kodesh, Kadashim, correct? Levium, Beisayi, Hivdil Hashem, Eshevet Levi. Why are Levi? We have any Levium here? No? Why are Levium prioritized? Because they were also designated, right? For something special. So does that make sense? I think Kedusha makes sense, right? Maybe Levium also, there's some Inyan recognizing their special status. Kobe, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So you endorse this principle?
I'm not going to comment on that. Whether I endorse the principle of Kohanim by what Kodesh and like anyone else?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Yeah.
Sure, I mean, it's a Mishnah. It's a Gemara. Do you endorse that they should get supported over other people?
Like all other people, or like just
general rule? It's a general rule. That's the same. That's in the same Mishnah, right? Emasav is manchakulam shavin. We're told that there's a chachma tiebreaker, right? I mean that chachma trumps all of these things. But hold off on that for a second. What's the underlying principle here? Why are Kohanim and Levium get special treatment for tzedakah? Why is it that you should give them tzedakah first?
Seemingly there's some, meaning I don't think it's necessarily has to do with tzedakah, but it has to do with some kavod you're supposed to.
Good. So it sounds like it's a dim kavod. Yes? Can we agree on that? And that would explain also why the Gemara says that's bizman shakulam shavim, but if you have a Talmud Chacham, a mamzer Talmud Chacham, and a Kohen Gadol Hamaretz, the Mamzer Talmud Chacham is Kodem because maybe there's a greater dim kavod for him over other people. Yes? So the underlying theory at this point can be kavod and kedusha. Notice how this really supports the Jerisha's analysis that kavod, the chi of kibud avim, is what prioritizes parents over everybody else. Because in tzedakah, when we're trying to figure out who to prioritize, kavod and those types of things factor in. Yes? I think this is non-controversial. Okay? Meaning, if you have a duty to hold the door open for a Kohen, to honor him, why shouldn't that express itself also in the Chi of Tzedakah? You need a tiebreaker to triage who you should help first. Now, Kobe, do you find it problematic or?
No.
No. I think what is a little more surprising is the later statements in the Mishnah. So what about, why is the Yisrael kodem to the Mamzer?
So you like, has like some sort of like lineage kind of thing.
Yeah. So what's the virtue of a Yichus? Same for Zeba Mitipa Ksheira V'Zeba Mitipa Psula.
It has to do with how
Zeh Gadal Imanu B'Kedusha V'Zeh Lo Gadal Imanu B'Kedusha. For the ger versus the nasin, ze haya bichlal arur, v'ze lo haya bichlal arur. Like, what types of considerations are those considerations?
The first ones are maybe like how pope of the Jewish people you were.
Okay. And what type of halakhic consideration is that?
That's like pope. That's like a matter.
It's interesting. You think so? You think that there's this notion of different tight-knittedness of the Jewish community? How much of a tzibur? How much a part of the tzibur are you? So you want to say that there are two dinim going on here in the Mishnah and Horios? There's one kedusha kavod type thing that explains the kohen and Levi, and then maybe there's something else which is about coming back to that idea
of Imcha, how much of an integral part of your tzibor, how much part of your kahal and how much of your tzibor are they? Is that what you want to say? So you want to say that a ger is less a part of our kahal than...
That's what it seems to like line that you grew up. A ger is... No, that's enemy.
Lo gadal imana biktusha.
Seems to imply that there's something lacking.
Yeah, it's a little mind-boggling. Josh, you want to say something about it?
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there a pasuk that explicitly says not to treat a ger differently than like the nation?
Fupes again.
Why does that have to be true? That doesn't like any bearing on
it. Yeah, so how do you make sense? What is this hierarchy then, right? What? Yeah, they have a harem.
Yeah, against what, ger?
Against accepting converts. Yeah. What? Right, that's why they have that harem. So this is tricky, right? It's tricky to figure out. Does anybody like Kobe's suggestion that this is about how much of a chiluk of the tzibur they are? Or what does it mean, bichlal aror? Or gadol imana b'kedusha?
I mean, the mamzer would support it. That they're not, they can't enter the kahal.
Yeah, so that is supported. Well, lo yavo bichlal. I'm not sure if that works so well for the Gadol Imana B'Kedusha, but you could say, you know, maybe a late addition to the community is somehow less a member of the community. I would say this, we need to think more about this, but remember, so far it's just about prioritizing people for tzedakah. But you have to have some reason, meaning you can only support one, so what's a valid reason for choosing one over the other? So, maybe the reason doesn't have to be all that important, right? It's something about this social status could be a minimal reason. It's not going to work for the Beis Yosef's reading. The Beis Yosef says it's about saving somebody's life. We'll talk about that in a second.
So you don't have to distinguish.
What?
You don't have to distinguish. You could reach a point where you say, okay, yeah.
We're indifferent between them, right? All life is life. All Jewish life is Jewish life. But we don't say that. I mean, the missionaries suggest that we don't say that.
Saying, when you say it's not so important, I find it hard to believe because... You don't have to say this difference at all. You don't see, right? You don't say pick between your, I don't know.
Right, you're saying in some cases people are just tied. So why doesn't the tie persist? Yeah. So anybody have a good theory for this? Or Ned, you must have something to say. No? No, you're left speechless? Yeah? Okay, so I want us to think about this. But I think certainly the kavod and the kedusha dimension loom large for some of them. Yes? Now, I think Kohen Levi, especially the Talmud Chacham part, that the Talmud Chacham is Kodem to anybody in this hierarchy, presumably that's a type of kavod issue. What other principles do we have? So this is, we'll call this three for now. What other major principles of hierarchy do we have? Keep wanting to pull us to Chayecha. That is one of them, but I don't want to get there yet. What else do we have? Think hard. Jew versus non-Jew. We'll get to that in a second. That's a major one.
Ish versus Isha.
That's in the same... Mishnah and Horios. Ish versus Isha, well, how do you want to explain that one, actually? What?
I don't know.
I think, Josh?
You might say...
The Gemara explains it. Go ahead.
I was going to suggest men were more involved in the economic system back then.
The Mepharshim there explain it in terms of who is Chayv and Mar Mitzvos, which they take as a sign of Kedusha, something like that. So you could even fit Ish versus Isha there, if you want to say that. No, that's not good for you. That's the standard view in the Mepharshim on that Mishnah and Horios. Ned is squirming in his seat. But we also saw Another principle, which is based off, this is the most obvious. L'chayv l'hakdim, the Torah writes, l'chayv l'hakdim l'hachiel ha-ra'ev mil'chasos ha-arum. What's that?
Needs-based.
That's right. That he actually gets from our sugya. The Torah gets that from our sugya, as the Beis Yosef here tells you. From bodkin l'chsos ve'ein bodkin l'mizonos. Right, that sugya is not about whether the guy's a liar, but about how dire the need is. We don't do an inquiry if somebody is starving, the way the Torah paskins, but we do an inquiry if they need clothing. And he thinks that's the basis for the Torah's ruling, chayev lahaktim lahachil haraev milchasos arum. Right, if you have somebody who's starving, somebody who needs clothes, we give priority to the person who is starving because their need is much greater than the other person. Yes? Now, there's an interesting comment here. That comes up in, based off our sugya, Bavasar Davchas. Do you guys remember the story with Rebbe during the famine when he only opened up the food for the Talmid Chachamim, not for the Ami Haaretz? Right? Now you can't forget it. So the Ritva on that sugya, which the Beis Yosef cites, the Ritva says that only makes sense, blah, blah, blah. In Bal Lefaneinu Meis Birav, Chayev Lahachayoso. Obviously, Rebbe couldn't keep out some Amaretz who was in dire need for basic subsistence.
The Rashi but there also says that if there's food available elsewhere, that's where you could adopt that policy. But
yeah.
If there was no other food elsewhere.
Right. Meaning if the needs of the Ani are more, of the Amaretz are more basic than the needs of the Talmid Chachamim, Rebbe would not have been allowed to exclude them. Does everybody see that? So you see if there's this notion about the needs base factoring in, and you get explicitly in this Beis Yosef that Am Haaretz with basic needs would trump the Talmud Chacham principle. Right? So in some cases, P4, somebody with basic needs, would trump the Kavod principle of P3. That's the claim, that's the contention of the Ritva here. But I think it's very intuitive. Okay? P5, we're going to end in a second, but what would you put in P5, Romy? No.
What?
Not yet. I would say achicha b'mitzvos. That's a major principle that the Rishonim adopt, which we want to think about. So P5 is achicha b'mitzvos. That there is something prior to your brethren in mitzvos. Everybody see that? That's the first halacha that the Shulchan Aruch really quotes in this section. The same for the Torah. The Torah in the beginning of Rishon and Aleph says, "Chasav Rabbi Blazar." That's Blazar Mimetz. Ani mi Yisrael ha'over al achas mikol hamitzvos eino bechlal v'chei achicha imach ve'ein chayavin liten lo tztaka ad sheyedu sheshav b'tshuva. Very radical halacha, right? You know that somebody's an Avarian, you're not obligated to support them. You're not supposed to give them tzedakah. So I want us to think about that. What type of principle is that? Okay. Principle number 6. Romy?
Chayecha.
Yes. Some notion of chayecha kodme. Okay. So we have to flesh out a little more the last few principles, especially achicha b'mitzvos, chayecha kodmin. It's interesting, achicha b'mitzvos might include the akum question, right? About whether or mefarnes ani akum.
How do those stem together? If we're gonna give to akum, we're not gonna give to
Yeah, that's maybe just Mishim Darche Shalom, and there's no issue of Darche Shalom for Achicha B'mitzvos. We need to be on good relations with the non-Jews.
Maybe the Shabbatim are going to go and report us to the authorities.
Maybe. So maybe that would trump the general rule of Achicha B'mitzvos.
Also, like Darche Shalom is also a principle that we have internally also now for different...
Yeah, so the so, you know.
Not for the Rambam of the ethical thing, but like even prudentially...
Yeah, something that might apply in this case, right? Okay, I think those are the six major principles. Do you guys agree? Are we missing any? What?
I have like eight.
You have eight?
You also said Tamach Chacham, you also said...
All right, well, I'm putting Tamach Chacham in the Horios.
Okay. And then you also had the Ani Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah. Ani Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to put in the Horios category. Because I think that's got to be a Kedusha. Yeah, this is the most clumsy category because Horios Yugimel has a whole potpourri of considerations, right? But I do think the Eretz Yisrael thing has got to be Kedusha based, right?
Even though it's not in that mission.
Yeah, but we're going to, when we flush this out a little further, the Horios Yugimel discussion, I'm going to have a lot to say, well, maybe a little to say. About how to make sense of the category as a whole. Right now, the category seems a little clumsy. So in the next year, we're going to nail down these categories a little more, and I want to talk about the hierarchy between these categories a little more. Okay? And then we'll wrap up this issue we'll wrap up this general issue, and we'll talk a little bit about receiving tzedakah from non-Jews. And that should be the end of Hilchos Tzedakah. And then we'll start the Mishnah. Okay? So let's plan maybe Sunday Shir on Tzedakah. Maybe we could wrap it up on Sunday. And then plan for Tuesday the Mishnah on Chalukas HaShutvos. Chef. Zev, Ariel, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
See you guys next week. God willing, in person.